There's no way to turn that off. I checked. All right. Jim Thacker, I am going to close the waiting room here in just a second, and I will cue you start. Are you all set? Jim Thacker, are you ready to play?
Yeah, are you ready?
Okay. Sorry, I'm hearing you. All right.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this time and service of worship. My name is Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I'm glad to welcome you to this time of worship at Tabernacle United Church. This is a time where we are still gathering here in this virtual community. And we are glad that we can do that. We can connect with each other and with God, even though we are physically not together. So we welcome you. And from wherever you're tuning in, we're glad you're here with us. We want to give a special welcome to visitors who are here. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're glad you're here. And we would love to hear if you are here for the first time. So we welcome you to put your name in the chat feature and let us know that you're here. You can also fill out our virtual visitor card, which we'll put in the chat as well. And if you would take time to fill that out, let us know a little bit about yourself. We would love to hear from you and connect a little bit further. So welcome to everyone. I want to give just a couple announcements for us as we begin today. First, we will be gathering after our service today. If folks want to stay a little bit in the main room, there will be some time for chatting and just communicating, talking with each other. And then at 11:45, we will have two rooms. We're going to have one room that will be our Exploring Membership class. We're meeting for our third session today on membership. So if you're interested or have been interested in membership, you're welcome to join that class. This is the third in our series of three. So, but you can still join even if it's your first time and you're curious or interested about what membership means. We welcome you to that. We will also have another breakout group that we're calling the Abolition Work Room. This is for some continual conversation on some of the work we're starting to do with the Mennonite curriculum called Defund the Police, an Abolition Curriculum. And in the in-between weeks when we don't have the class, we're going to offer some time to just go into more reflection on and conversation on the work that we're doing there. So we will also have a work room for more conversation on the abolition curriculum. So these two rooms will be opening at 11:45. So you can leave and come back if you'd like to take a break in between the service. But please consider joining for those groups. Also today, I want to just give thanks. Pax is away. Pax, our music minister, is not here today, but we do have lots of videos that Pax has provided for us for worship. And so we're grateful for Pax sharing that with us. We also have, it'll be great to hear from some other folk in our community musically. Shell Brune, as well as Jennifer Jordan, will be sharing too in several of the videos today. So we give thanks for that music ministry among us. Also, I wanted to just give a quick word on, I wanted to recognize that today is Father's Day, June 20th, and it is Father's Day in the American calendar year. And I want to simply acknowledge that this day can be a very happy and special day for many people. And it for others, it can be a very difficult and painful day. A happy day because we're celebrating those special people in our lives who have been fathers to us. And this includes blended families, foster parents, grandparent-led families, loving people who have stepped into those parenting roles for us and on whose shoulders we stand. And it's important to celebrate those who have been fathers to us, regardless of gender or biology. At the same time, it's important to acknowledge that it's a painful day for many too. And some of us have recently lost our fathers or have painful or estranged relationships to our fathers. Some want really badly to become fathers, but for whatever reason are not able to. And so this day can bring up those painful realities too. And I want to acknowledge that and lift that up as well as to hold both the pain as well as the celebration. And perhaps today in our prayers and in our worship today that we can hold all of these things in prayer, both the celebration as well as the struggle. And perhaps it would lead us to even reaching out to those we know who are holding a heavy burden today in light of this. So I wanted to lift that up as we begin, just to be mindful of this and to hold that and our community in mind as we think about that day. So let us come now and let us worship together.
The opportunity to worship is as close as our next breath. Breathe in peace. Breathe out fear. Breathe in calm. Breathe out the crowd. Breathe in faith. Breathe out falsehood. May we be connected by our breath to the God of liberation. With each breath, we praise the God of life. With each breath, we pray for justice. With all that we have, let us worship.
We invite you now to join us and sing the song that Pax and Jennifer Jordan worked on together, God is Not Confined. We heard this last week, and let us now sing together our opening songs. We give thanks for them.
God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined, God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined, God is not confined to the pattern of this world. The pattern of the world is carceral, but God is not confined. The pattern of the world is brutality, but God is not confined. The pattern of the world is scarcity, but God is not confined. Yes, we know God is not confined. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. In God we know God will make it so. In God we so. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine, we will not confine to the pattern of this world. The pattern of the world is carceral, and we have been confined. The pattern of the world is brutality, and we have been confined. The pattern of the world is scarcity, and we have been confined. But in God we will not confine. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. Sing it with me, sing. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine, we will not confine to the pattern of this world. In God we go, we will make it so. In God we go, we will make it so.
Next to seed.
Surrounded by storms, by wind and rain, we are called to find peace. Help us to be this non-anxious presence. Help us to grow close to the ground of all being. Help us to share the strength we find in each other's courage. Help us to calm the waters and move to the shore, not under our own power, but together. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. We are interested in the new, but not in letting go of the old. We have habits, scripts, and prejudices that don't serve anyone, not ourselves or our neighbors. We cling to them instead of you. Break our grip, O God. We want the freedom that comes from reconciliation, but we are not ready to reject what is in the way of your love. We are scared because it's hard for us to see the shoreline by ourselves. We think we have to do it alone. Help us break out of our sin and move with all your children toward reconciliation and new life. The good news is that despite what the world may tell us, we are not in this alone. Perfection is not required, and true freedom is in beloved community. We are invited out of our failures and individualism into new life, where we are not alone and a new world is possible. This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Amen. Let's take now a moment to go to gallery view. You will have the ability to unmute, and let's pass the peace of Christ. Let's share that peace that Christ gives us that passes understanding. Share that peace with one another. So may the peace of Christ be with all of you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Everybody.
Peace, everyone.
Hey, Dick and Eloise. Hello.
Hello.
Sarah.
Good morning.
Be with you.
Hi. Peace.
Hello. Peace be to everyone.
Ellen Cortes, welcome.
Thank you.
Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Hi, Vic.
Hello.
I haven't seen you in a long
Jennifer
time.
Jennifer Rose, Laura, peace be with you. And Levi.
Hello, peace Lynn and Lynn.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Susan.
Jennifer, peace be with you.
Jennifer Rose, Laura, and Levi.
Hi, Dick and Eloise.
Hi.
Hi.
Peace.
Jennifer and Laura, are you in matching dresses?
They both have lots of colors.
Taylor, welcome back. Peace be with you.
Auntie Laura.
Hi.
Are you in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Hey.
Peace, Ellen.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi.
Hi, Priscilla.
Peace.
Alaska, are you feeling okay, Alaska?
Peace.
Hi, Geneva.
Hi.
Hey.
And Wakefield. Peace.
Peace.
Good to see you.
Amanda and Maeve. Hi.
Amen.
Oh, you look pretty good.
And Rob and Chris, peace be with you too.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Hi, Deirdre. Have you found a place to live?
I've got a temporary place. I'm happy right now.
Good.
Great.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, Dick and Eloise.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Amanda.
Our first reading is Psalm 46, and this is from the Inclusive Language Bible. God is our refuge and strength, who from of old has helped us in our distress. Therefore, we fear nothing, even if the earth should open up in front of us and mountains plunge into the depths of the sea, even if the earth's waters rage and foam, and the mountains tumble with its heaving. There's a river whose streams gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst. It will never fall. God will help it at daybreak. Though nations are in turmoil and empires crumble, God's voice resounds and it melts the earth. Yahweh Sabaoth is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Israel. Come and see what Yahweh has done. God makes the earth bounteous. God has put an end to war from one end of the earth to the other, breaking bows, splintering spears, and setting chariots on fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted upon the earth. Yahweh Sabaoth is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Israel. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, for the powerful psalm reading. And now is the time in our service where we invite the children to come closer to the screen, or the young at heart, or anyone who would like. If you would like to be in a smaller circle of folks spotlighted during this time, you can go to your reactions button, click on that, and click on raise hand, and you will be spotlighted for this time. So let us come now. Let's sing with Pax and invite the children and young at heart to come close to the screen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Hello, everybody. My name is Donald. My pronouns are he and him, and I want to share something with you first before we talk a little bit. Let me just check something here. Make sure it's okay, good. The interesting thing is you could watch that all day, couldn't you? When it's far away, it's kind of interesting. But when it's up close, it's really scary. Are you scared of thunder and lightning? Anybody who's scared, put their hand up. Me too. Even though I'm grown up, I'm scared it's going to hit my house. And then that would be a mess. So in any event, I was scared of thunder and lightning when I was a little boy too. And my dog Simon is still scared of thunder and lightning. He runs to me when there's a storm and I have to pet him to make him feel better. And he's not happy until the storm goes away. So when you're scared of thunder and lightning at night, I'll bet you jump out of bed and run to your parent, your mommy or daddy, to tell them you're scared. And your parent tells you not to worry, that everything will be all right, that the storm will pass, and they will take care of you, even in the storm. And as I said, that it's kind of fun to watch a storm when it's far away, but when it gets up close, it's really scary, even for us grown-ups, because we worry maybe all sorts of things will happen. Our roof will leak, particularly the skylights. Skylights always leak, no matter how hard you try. Our house will get hit by the lightning and we'll have to get a new roofer or something. But in any event, your parents take you, they will take care of you. And before you know it, the lightning and thunder stops and all is quiet again. So things do turn out okay. Now, the passage from the Bible that Pastor Katie will be reading this morning tells the story of Jesus and his followers. They're out in a little fishing boat in a lake. And a terrible storm with lightning and thunder comes up. And the boat is in danger of sinking. And it's not a very big boat. And they're out in the middle of the lake. So it would be really hard to swim to the shore. And Jesus is asleep. Can you imagine that? all that thunder and all that lightning, and he's just snoozing away. Maybe he's even snoring. I don't know. But he's sleeping in the back of the boat, and the lightning and thunder doesn't even wake him up. So Jesus' followers shake him awake and say, "Jesus, don't you care that we're going to sink?" And Jesus says to the storm, he lifts up his head, he looks at the storm, he says, "Stop!" And just like that, the rain and the lightning and the thunder stop. So Jesus' followers are pretty amazed by that. But Jesus told them they didn't have to be so scared, that they should know that he and God will always take care of them. Well, Jesus tells us the same thing that he told of his followers, that Jesus or God is with us all the time and everything will be okay. And it's a good thing to remember, even right in the middle of the thunder and the lightning or any other kind of storms we're having in our lives, that everything will be okay. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to remember that you are with us all the time, no matter what, and that everything will be okay. Amen.
Storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. I can, and my friends misunderstand. Thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. Oh, when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. Oh, when my life becomes a burden, and I'm near in chilly Jordan. Oh, thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Stand. Stand by me. Stand by me. Stand by me.
Amen. Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. So let's hear now what the Spirit is saying to us, to the church this morning, through this story. On that day when evening came, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I want to invite you now to pray with me before we begin. God, you are here with us in the muck and the mire of our lives. You are here. We pray, God, that you would speak to us now, that your Spirit would move in us, teach us, encourage us. God, I ask that you would speak through me, and I ask that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory and to our transformation. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? That's the question in this story that really got me. It made me stop and pause. And in fact, I decided I would actually answer the question and not just sort of think about it in vague terms, but that I would actually take a minute and write down on a piece of paper the reasons why I am afraid. And I started writing and it just started coming. I mean, I filled out a whole page of all of the things that I'm afraid of. We have a lot of reasons to be afraid, don't we? There are many things to fear. And I just started writing them down. And I'm not going to share with you all my fears. Thank goodness, right? But I am going to share with you one fear that I wrote down that I want to reveal. I also want to ask if you share that fear with me at the end. So let's see. It's a fear that I have that has to do with coming out of this storm of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the fear that I have is this. I'm afraid that we will have learned nothing. That's my fear. My fear is that we will come out of this time, and to use the language or the metaphor of the story in the gospel, is we are on the boat And we actually won't be going to the other side. We'll be going back to the shore from where we came from. We'll be starting back where we started before. We'll go back to old habits. We'll go back to the same breakneck speed of life that was killing us and making us sick before. I can feel it. I can feel it in the air, a kind of spirit of restlessness. And I feel it more among the privileged class among us. There's a kind of spirit of restlessness to get back in kind of in this greedy sense, what we've lost. So like, for example, instead of thinking about how we could learn to maybe do with less air travel, we planned 3 to 4 trips in 2022 to make up for no trips in 2020. It's this kind of sneaky, greedy spirit that I think that is easy to catch. It's like, and I'm afraid of all this. I'm afraid of it because I can feel it in myself, this kind of spirit of capitalism and greed and how it's always rivaling the Holy Spirit of abundance and enough. I'm afraid we will have learned nothing. Do you resonate with this fear? I want to hear from you. Can you raise your hand? Is anybody saying, yes, amen. Okay, I'm hearing from you. I'm seeing you. Thank you. We share this fear. I'm so glad I'm not the only one. It's good to name our fears. It's good to name our fears because it pulls them out from our body. It's like finding a piece of spinach in your tooth. You take it out and you look at it. And you think to yourself, what do I do with this thing? Maybe you feel some embarrassment that it's been in your tooth for that long and nobody pointed it out to you. But if you can take it out of your body, you can actually look at it and examine it and think to yourself, what do I do? What is this fear? What function is it having in my life? What is it doing to me? If we don't name our fears and pull them out of our bodies, they more easily drop into our unconscious, and then they can become the very thing that moves us to make decisions, even sometimes without knowing it. Our fears can control us, and they become like our primary navigating tool. To use that, again, that imagery of the boat, you know, we can just be on the boat, and what's directing our decisions are our fears. Because they've taken life inside of our bodies. And so it's important to pull them out, to look at them. A common phrase we hear in the gospel, it's so common that we almost don't hear it. It's the phrase, be not afraid. And that phrase is often comes from divine messengers throughout the gospel, people who are sent from God with that message, be not afraid. And it's not that, it's not to say that we don't, to not ever be afraid in the sense that, because we can't, we have fears, they're there for a reason. But it's about noticing your fear and not allowing it to control you. That refrain in the gospel is about noticing your fear and not allowing it to control you. And thank God that this is not the only question Jesus asks us in this story. He doesn't just ask us why we're afraid. There's a follow-up question. There are two questions here that in this story that we are asked to sit with. He asks us first, why are you afraid? And the second question is, where is your faith? Don't you have faith? In other words, now that you've named your fear, what does your faith have to say to your fear? What does your faith have to say to your fear? These two questions are the pivotal questions Jesus asks in a time of stormy disruption. Why are you afraid? Do you not yet have faith? What might your faith have to say to your fear? If you were to put your fear in conversation with your faith, what would your faith say to your fear? would it say, oh, you're right, we won't learn anything. We can't really change. Let's just throw up our arms and retreat into morbid passivity. Or does our faith say, fear, be still? We are not passive pawns of the empire. We are in this boat heading to the other side. Not the back to this other, the same side we started, but to the other side. It's a side we haven't been to before. That's why it's called the other side. It's like being called to the kingdom of God. It's on the other side, the place of more compassion, the place of more justice, a place where systems are equitable, where people have access to the goods they need to survive, where land and earth is cared for and all can flourish, where people experience love and welcome and safety and abundance. That's where we're going. That's the other side. The other side. And if that's where we're going, then Katie and y'all, we must allow our faith to speak to our fears. We must allow our faith to speak to our fears, because God wants us to move out of a time of trial and times of stormy disruption with faith and a clarity of vision for how we must change. We must be careful to resist that fear mentality that produces a scarcity mentality that leads to greed and self-centeredness. Jesus is with us and is asking us to go with him to the other side, not to go back to the old shore. I was reading this week a sermon that Pope Francis preached last year in March of 2020. And he preached a sermon on this very passage. And he talked about how humanity is in this boat. We are in this boat together. And he said, the storm of the pandemic is exposing all kinds of things about us. Our connectivity to each other, our belonging to each other. And then he says, we cannot go thinking only of ourselves. We cannot continue to go on at this pace of breakneck speed. And then he said, God is calling on us to seize this time of trial as a time of choosing. It is not the time of God's judgment. It is the time of our judgment, our choosing about what matters most, what can pass away, a time to separate what is necessary from what is not. Can we seize this time of stormy disruption as a time of choosing, a time of our judgment? What matters? What can pass away? So I asked you in the email form to respond to that question. And I was so gifted by your responses. I had many people respond to that question and about what you've learned through this stormy time and what is necessary, what is not. And here are some of the responses I heard from you. And I just ask you to kind of, I'm going to be quoting you a lot, different voices. So I just ask you to take in some of the wisdom and the thoughtfulness that you shared with me. I learned about the importance of presence, the power of human touch, the value of family, and being present physically with those you love. My priorities were altered. I'm less worried about what I will wear or if my hair is in place. I have tried and hope to continue to understand other people who do not think or believe as I do. I try to listen and understand where they're coming from. Another person said, I learned that I can live with less. I can live with fewer clothes. I can live without shopping. I can do without many material things. And I want to dwell with more content and conversation that feeds my emotional, spiritual body. I'm learning the importance of living deliberately. The pandemic taught me that it's possible to take a breath before going out and getting more stuff, more stimulation, more clutter. This more deliberate living can leave room for gratitude and a more careful use of what we do have. Several people spoke about nature. Nature had a way of centering me during this time. Despite all the chaos, flowers still withered and bloomed, birds still chirped, and squirrels still played games of tag with one another. Another person said, nature became much more important to me through the pandemic. I saw many benefits of walking long distances daily. It was good discipline, which I hope to continue, and I want to continue to focus on the environment. One person said, I learned that I don't have to travel far to find beauty. I used to think more about escaping through big vacations and going abroad, but what about the beauty that is near me? Less travel, less pollution. I'm learning that a simpler and slower life can be a beautiful life. Some of you also shared vulnerably about some of your struggles and things that have been difficult for you and even warning signs to you throughout this time. The warning sign of having the privilege to live in near constant retreat from the world, including retreating from other people's problems. So it can become very comfortable to have all you need and only engage with a screen. And some folk talked about that is a kind of retreat that can become dangerous. Though Zoom was important, one person said, to help me stay connected, the internet has the potential to create boundaries that keep us isolated from each other and only seek relationships with those who are like us. I learned that I can get comfortable with only connecting selectively with people in my own tribe, as one person said. Several of you also spoke about how health disparities need to be front and center of our political imaginations. One person said, I saw inequalities at work within every institution. I realize again how broken and fallen we are as a nation, that even through and with a pandemic, we can't provide people with basic universal income, universal health insurance, and food. I've heard several folk in our community say that in the midst of this storm, the time is ripe to rethink policing and what communal safety looks like. Because when we're in a time of disruption, we have more potential for openness to reimagine how things could be different. What are the alternatives to communal safety? The question, what does our faith have to say about policing and systems of violence, is, I think, a spin on the question from this morning when Jesus asked, what does our faith have to say to our fears? What does the other side of the shore look like when it comes to policing? These are some of the things that we have been thinking about as well. Another person spoke of learning hard lessons about relationships. I learned that I had very little time and energy for relationships that didn't feed me, support all of me or my family. This meant limiting, sometimes cutting off, many relationships, and it helped me to rethink what community is and being in community is about, supporting folks in my community. Another said that they found church again through the pandemic. But if it hadn't been for the pandemic and its disruptive nature, I might have remained stuck and still ensnared in an abusive group. I learned the importance of building community, said one person, of self-care, of understanding people beyond what they present. When we are scared of the unknown, we are all God's children looking for shelter. I could go on. There's so much wisdom that you shared, but I'll stop there, just hoping to reflect back to you just a few of the learnings that have helped, that you have had throughout this past year. And perhaps it can help us together as we share and we reflect to resist a kind of forgetfulness about what we've learned and resist just charging into the future, but taking time to think about this time as a time of choosing, a time where we can choose and pause for a while with those deep questions of our faith. about what our faith will speak to our, how our faith can speak to our present fears as we travel deliberately with Jesus to the other side. So I want to encourage us and invite us to allow the voice of Jesus to challenge us to name our fears and then to allow our faith to speak to our fears and see what kind of courage that faith produces in us and what possibilities it will awaken within us for change. I feel like I can't end this sermon without the voice of my grandmother, who also responded to my question, and I feel she has to get the last word. She's not here this morning, but she responded to my question too. Her name is Ruth Beck, and her reflection was really on the gospel story. And she told me that this is a truth that she has held on to for much of the 96 years of her life. And that truth is this: He's on the boat. He's on the boat. Jesus is on the boat. He's in the boat with us, traveling with us to the other side. Our boat will reach the other side, she said, because Jesus is on the boat. And to hear the voice of Jesus say, "Peace, be still," it is the very promise we can still lean into today, that Jesus will calm our fears and invite us to take courage, to hold on, and to keep going, because we are not passive pawns of the empire. We have capacity to change. We can do hard things. We can try new things. We can create because God is still creating. We can learn from the past. We don't have to repeat the past. So can we hold this time as a time not of God's judgment, but a time of our judgment, a time of choosing? Let's go on to the other side, the place we haven't been before. And let's remember that He's on the boat. He's on the boat. Amen. Amen.
To do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you would have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Use me.
Well, I don't think I could sleep through a thunderstorm like that, but I do think that our current stopping of the normal, of the so-called normal, has given us a chance to re-examine our habits and maybe find new paradigms. I feel like in this time, our faith is calling us to take action for the good. And one of those ways is with our offering every Sunday. Oops, it's already there. You can use the link that I put in the chat box, which gets you to our contribution page, or you can text, as it says, text any amount to 84321 and add a tag, whether it's open plate or part of your pledge. Let us now, as we are able, make our morning donation.
I am resilient. I trust the movement. I negate the chaos. Uplift the negative. I show up at the table again and again and again. I close my mouth and learn to listen. Whoa, whoa, oh, oh. Whoa, whoa, oh, oh. Whoa, whoa, oh, oh. These times are poignant. The winds have shifted. It's all we can do to stay uplifted. Peaceful prayers to the water, one at the center, all vessels open to give and receive. Let's see the system brought down to its knees. Oh, 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 whoa, oh, oh, whoa, oh, oh. About it when the world comes undone. My voice feels tiny, and I'm sure so does yours. Put them all together, make a mighty roar. Trust the movement, I negate the chaos, uplift the negative. I show up at the table again and again and again. I close my mouth and learn to listen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God all creatures here below. Praise God above ye heavenly hosts. Creator, Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
As we make our donations and offerings in faith, we trust that they will be put to good use to serve God's greater purpose. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now is the time in our service where we bring our prayers to God and to one another to lift up. So you are welcome to use the chat function now to reflect on the service, to bring any joys you have, any struggles or other prayer concerns you'd like to lift up for us to be holding with you in this time. So this is the time to do that. We also, of course, lift up the silent prayers as well, the ones that aren't spoken out loud, but that remain on our hearts. So let's take a moment now just to gather our thoughts and we'll receive those prayers through the chat feature right now. And we'll just take a moment to gather those prayers, and Jim will be reading them as they come through the chat box. And we invite you to respond after every prayer is read. Jim will say, God in your mercy, and let's all respond, hear our prayer as we lift up our prayers together. Let us pray.
This from Joan and Amy. Please pray for my friend's grandchild who is hovering between desire to live or die. Pray for the family as the impact is so far reaching. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Amanda Fox, there is a lot of interpersonal conflict and pressure at work right now, particularly on my dear friend Jamie. Prayers for strength and peace for them, particularly and for the whole team. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Taylor Silvestri, prayers for surrendering fear during major life transitions and to finding joy in the chaos instead. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lim Lampman, prayers that the insurance company will approve a bone stimulator for the second fracture they found in her foot last week that shows no healing in 9 weeks. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Dee Hebert, prayer of thanks that my friend Rick has qualified for a liver transplant and that a living donor has been identified, and further prayers that the remaining formalities will be dealt with effectively. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gwyneth, asking for prayers that we have a successful and meaningful first Pride March in our small town of Granville, Ohio, on this coming Saturday. We're organizing it all within 2 weeks, and it seems amazingly well, but prayers would be welcome. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gregory, please pray for our friend Anna in Iceland She is going through several difficult family issues, particularly for her husband, who has gone through an organ transplant and has pneumonia. Nothing is helping him, and he's having a lot of fevers and is very weak. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Kristen, thankful that this past week I was granted permanent legal custody of my foster son, Malcolm. Pray for our future together. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
These prayers we lift up, as well as the ones that are unspoken, that remain on your heart. Let us now take time to sing together as we lift up all that has been shared.
Send us love, send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Gracious God, we come to you this morning with fear. We have a lot of fears, and they are real, and they serve a purpose. God, some of those fears are fears we know about, and others are somewhere kind of buried within us that are still there. But God, I believe that you are calling those fears forth, and you're asking us to speak them out loud and to pull them out into your presence and ask what you would say to them. I don't know all that you say to those individuals' fears, but I ask God that you would give us the courage to voice them and to then listen for you and for your word and your spirit to move and to reveal to us what our faith has to say. God, help us not to just become captive to our fears and captive to whatever wind is blowing in whatever direction, but that we would be mindful and in tune with the wind of your spirit. And so God, in our many circumstances and the many places that we are in, we ask for the wind of your spirit to be our guide. We pray, God, for all those who are struggling, especially today, in mind, in body, in spirit, economically, whatever situation. We lift up the names in those situations that we know and that you know of. We give you thanks and celebrate and have gratitude for the many gifts that are here and right in front of us, available to us, and many gifts that you give us each day, sustenance and love and courage. Oh God, be with each of us today and speak into our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for teaching us many things and also for teaching us to pray. And so we now gather with one voice saying the prayer that you taught us in whatever version feels comfortable and familiar to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We are going, heaven knows where we are going, but we know within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know. We'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. We are going. Heaven knows where we are going, but we know within. Get there, heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Oh yeah, yeah.
Friends, as you go forth this week into your day and into the week, remember that Jesus is on the boat with us and we are heading to the other side. And we don't know exactly what that side will look like, but we have some sense of clarity about that direction, about the images of God's reign and of that kingdom that we are all seeking and heading toward. So remember that Jesus is with us on the boat. Remember to be asking the question, what does your faith have to say to your fear? And let's continue to be thinking about that and reflecting on that as we are on this boat together. So go in peace to serve God, to serve your neighbor, to serve your enemy, to serve all of creation. Amen.